19 months. This was always the riskiest part of the voyage. The Viands currently had 32 robot space probes traversing their solar system, sending back a great deal of crude science sensor data to their home world, as well as 2 high-powered observatories on the largest moon. The chance of 1 spotting the insertion ship was slim, but the controlling sentience took no chances. By the time it passed the innermost gas giant, it was down to 25 meters in diameter. It had no magnetic field, and the outer shell was fully radiation absorbent in every spectrum, making it invisible to any telescopes. As it closed on Vian, it detected a spaceship departing one of the 3 stations in low orbit, a nuclear fission rocket sending it on a 10-month flight to the 5th planet. A crew of 11 Vians was crammed into its small life support cabin. Emissaries of their species' exuberant spirit boldly outbound on their first interplanetary flight. Given that the Vians had only launched their first chemical propellant rocket into orbit 17 years earlier, the insertion ship's controlling sentience was impressed by the speed of their technological progress. During its long, lonely voyage between the stars, it had monitored the plethora of signals broadcast from Vian, building up an extensive knowledge base of the species' history and culture. Socially, they were organized along clan lines, a protective imperative bestowed by their distinct reproductive biology. Each female had up to 10 mates, who all fertilized her egg cluster over the course of her 15-year adult life stage. When she was ready to gestate, she became immobile, feeding on the pre-digested pulp provided by her mates as her wombs began to swell. Giving birth to up to 50 infant Vians was her last living act, though the insertion ship had recently picked up broadcasts speculating that modern medical techniques might be able to prolong female life after birth. From what the controlling sentience could understand, the concept was regarded as far-fetched and almost heretical, though so far the Vian seemed to have avoided the whole concept of deities and religion. Physically, the Vians had 4 legs, supporting a rounded, double-sectioned body with 8 upper arm limbs. There was a long, prehensile neck on the top, lifting up an ovoid cranium containing 8 eyes and a combination ear-echo-sonar organ, providing all-around perception. Their particular sensorium neurology meant they'd evolved past the concept of front and back, and now had the capacity for free-ranging motion. That specific analytic ability gave the controlling sentience some difficulty when it came to developing equivalent thought routines for the 6 Vian body biologics that it was now growing in its onboard molecular initiators. Fortunately, Vian biochemistry was relatively easy to replicate. As it closed to within 1 million kilometers of Vian, the insertion ship discarded the last of its reaction mass as it performed a final deceleration maneuver. Now it was basically just falling toward the southernmost tip of the Farava continent. The lights of nighttime urban citadels sparkled across the continent, linked by the slender blue-green threads of bioluminescent transport rails. Tiny course correction ejector refined the ship's descent vector, steering it toward the coast, which was still 30 minutes from greeting the dawn. Even if some Vian telescope chanced to find the ship now, it would simply appear to be a small chunk of natural space debris. It hit the upper atmosphere and began to peel apart into 6 pear-shaped segments. The remaining matter broke away in fizzing sparks that produced a short-lived but beautiful starburst display streaking through the mesosphere. Below it, sheltered under the blanket of thick winter cloud, the clan packs of Gomabab, the southernmost urban citadel on Vian, remained oblivious to their interstellar visitor. Each segment continued down, aero-braking with increasing severity as the atmosphere thickened around them. They slowed to subsonic velocity 3 kilometers above the surface, plunging through the clouds. The segments were aimed at a small cove a few kilometers east of the urban citadel, where the gently undulating frost meadows ended in high cliffs atop pebble beaches. 100 meters from the shore, 6 large splash plumes shot up into the air like thick geysers, crowning and splattering down on the slushy ice that bobbed about in the sub-zero salt water. The Nayana Metavians floated to the surface,